You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN. Your home for K-State Athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
So yesterday I gave Troy something to do. And we're going to get those results in hour number two.
Yes.
Because tomorrow is opening day for Major League Baseball for the Kansas City Royals. Minnesota Twins will be at the K for a 3:10 first pitch. And in hour number two, Troy's going to give us the top five Royals storylines heading into the 2024 season.
He's still got a job!
No, he doesn't have a job. And I'm thankful for that. Especially given what the storylines are for this year.
Those are my
favorite. Replaced him? Who replaced Cal Eldred?
Brett Zabring.
I was gonna say I don't even remember.
Mark Gubazon.
Who got the job?
Jimmy Gobble.
Because that was the running joke all of
last year. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. That's part of what his homework was.
Ryan Sweeney.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Well known name. Right there.
Yeah, welcome to Major League Coaching.
All right, so Troy will be breaking down the 2024 Kansas City Royals coming up at 5:25. Also in hour number one, growing pains for the K-State offense, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. As we'll take a look at the offense, we'll hear from K-State offensive coordinator Connor Riley in hour number two. Repredicting the Final Four, also coming up, we're going to hear from K-State wide receiver coach Matthew Middleton. He got a lot of questions today about Dante Cephas. We'll hear from the now second-year wide receiver coach. I'll be honest, kind of nice to have a wide receiver coach around for more than just more than just 1 year.
Yeah.
Interesting to see how are you guys' brackets doing? I didn't even touch on that yesterday. Are you guys still – I know Troy and I here at the radio station, we're not doing so hot.
Disaster.
The news department
– crush.
Believe it or not, here at the station – cleaning up when it comes to their brackets,
man,
for the men's March Madness.
And it couldn't have been a worse person from the news to start to, you know, like to be winning right now. Because that guy just won't shut up.
Talking about that new kid that's in second place.
Yeah.
I mean, how does a guy who graduated from Nebraska know anything about college basketball?
Great question.
True. That's great
question.
True.
That is a good question.
It's just the whole news crew. They're all pretty braggadocial and pretty loud, and you know, you can't get a word in edgewise. And they've been bragging all week, man. Look at what I did. Look at what I did.
Yeah, Peter Rice, who's in no relation to Devon Rice, running back, new running back for K-State, freshman, true freshman, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Do your research before you kind of go out on a limb there.
Oh, wow. I asked.
Oh, okay.
I asked.
Okay.
There's no relation.
This guy does his homework.
He
okay.
does.
Come
he
on.
Does.
Athletic,
he does.
The athletic ability between the two couldn't be more night and day.
Are you kidding me? That's a lanky kid over
That's
there.
That's why he's a journalist. He's also way taller.
Yeah.
Peter is. This also means, guys, you know what today is?
Oof.
It's Wednesday.
Who's fighting tonight?
Well, Owen, tell us. who's I know, let's see. Boy, you kind of put me on the spot. Well, Will Ospreay. Is it against Okada?
I'm pulling it up right now.
I think it's Okada. Or Shibata.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that one. And
another
then,
Japanese wrestler, yeah.
Takeshita and Strickland, Swerve Strickland, have a match tonight as well.
Hey, it's going to be good, guys. It's from Quebec City, Quebec, Canada, is where AEW Dynamite is tonight. But for the first time in 7 weeks.
Is that a record?
7 weeks, we are joined by Derek Young from KSN Online. Welcome back, DY. Welcome back to the show. How's your bracket doing? How many Final Four teams do you have that's still alive?
I believe I still have three.
That's good. That's good. Because this day and age, you feel like you got to pick more upsets. And for just the fifth time ever, every 1 and 2 seed is still alive in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Who'd you pick to win it all, DY?
North Carolina.
I don't know if any of us had North Carolina.
Nope.
Why North Carolina? Why did you go with the Tar Heels that did not win the ACC championship? NC State still in the tournament, and why North Carolina?
I think they had addition or subtraction that worked out in their favor when they got rid of Caleb Love. I don't know what I was trying to. Maybe that is addition by subtraction, but now Caleb Love looking good for Arizona, so maybe I'm a little bit off. But I think North Carolina, maybe with the exception of like UConn at times, Tennessee at times, Houston at times. I don't know. I think North Carolina has been one of the two or three best teams in the country this year as well. But not everyone thought that. So I thought maybe to use that angle and be a little bit different, because you got to be a little bit different sometimes to win it. Back-to-back is really tough. So it rarely happens. So that's why I didn't take UConn, Purdue, a team that typically struggles in the NCAA tournament. I'm just not sure Houston has enough offense.
I'm waiting for Purdue to eat it hard, face plant, and knock themselves out of the tournament. So, okay, so then who'd you have playing North Carolina in the championship?
Who did I have playing North Carolina in the championship? I had Tennessee still alive.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Tennessee, North Carolina, UConn, all three still alive. Unfortunately, still had Kentucky.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one.
If North Carolina and Tennessee play for the title, I might puke.
I'm going to guess. Now, maybe I'm going to be proven correct and Tennessee makes it, but a very strong part of me believes that the winner of that side of the bracket will be whoever wins the Houston-Duke game this week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good one. Derek Young from K-State Online is our guest. Let's talk K-State hoops. Let's put a bow on this season for K-State. I know there's been a lot of distractions, inconsistent play. I personally give the coaching staff credit for all the issues, let's say, that K-State had. I was still impressed that they still got 8 wins in Big 12 play, a really tough league with all the drama. They still grinded out 8 victories in the regular season. How will you personally remember this team? Like, let's say next year when you look back, how do you think you'll remember this team?
A complicated year, a flawed team that might have, in a way, overachieved, as you laid out there, by going 8-10, while simultaneously being an eyelash away from like 3 or 4 more wins that seemed like they should have had. They lost to TCU at home on a buzzer beater. They lost at Cincinnati when they were up by 1 with under a minute left with the ball. And again, essentially a buzzer beater that lost the game thanks to CMOS Lukosius. They lost at Texas Tech when they led by 8 points at the under 4 timeout. So, again, in a way, because of how flawed I think the structure of the team turned out to be, I thought that they overachieved by going 8-10 in a very strong conference that is number 1 in KenPom. But at the simultaneously, still feels like plenty of games that you just kind of let slip away. And I do agree with some fans that were probably technically are probably too frustrated for what this year ultimately finished as. That it was a team that sometimes was a painful and frustrating one to watch because of the kind of turnovers that they committed.
All right, now let me take it a step further. Let me give you an individual player, and I'll ask you the same question. How are you going to remember Tyler Perry's one season at K-State?
I will remember him as a guy that did find a stride during the, for the most part, in Big 12 play, but had a tough start and a rough finish. But I think he was asked to probably do too much, and at times that hurt his ability to contribute at the level that he's accustomed to contributing.
I can agree with a lot of that, what you just said. You probably went to a couple of new arenas, some new towns this year. Did you have one that stood out to most as your new place to visit for the first time this season?
You know, I had been to Cincinnati before, so not necessarily. I didn't go to UCF because K-State didn't play at UCF in basketball or football, but they did play in Orlando for the bowl game. But I had been there before and not a huge fan. I really like people. I know that sounds weird, but there's a lot of people in Orlando, right? If you go to the right places. So that can be a little bit overwhelming for me at times. I don't really know. I went to Baton Rouge for the first time. Now, the campus is nice. The town is a little bit not as nice as I was anticipating, but I do love the food.
The food is the bomb down there. I've only been to Baton Rouge one time and pulled into town because I was driving to New Orleans. This was 10 years ago for a WrestleMania 30 when the Undertaker streak ended. And got into Baton Rouge, was at a stoplight, and all of a sudden I hear a and I was like, oh my God, what was that? The horn was just going off. It didn't stop for a while. Pulled a little bit forward. It wasn't a car accident. Somebody drove their car into a storefront.
Ooh.
Like tail end deep into a subway.
Whoa.
Welcome to the city.
Now that's totally different, but for some reason it jarred my memory of a couple nights ago. I thought there was like a train going to go through my window with how hard the wind was just beating on the outside of the apartment complex.
It's pretty interesting when you drive into Baton Rouge. So the highway will bring you in from the northwest, and you're kind of, there's a bridge you go over, and then you look to your right, and it just kind of, it looks very plain, but sticking out like a sore thumb is Death Valley. It just, this big monstrosity of a purple and yellow surface, it just stands out like anything else you'll find in Baton Rouge.
The question is, did either of you visit the USS Kidd?
I did not.
Okay.
I will say what stood out to me was the giant statue of Shaquille O'Neal on the way to walking to the basketball arena, them having about three students there, going to a bar and grill after the game and seeing students there and asking what was up. And they said, well, that's three more students than there usually is. So there was that side of things. I also walked by the baseball stadium. It is the largest college baseball stadium I have ever seen in my life. And I've seen Texas and other places. Their baseball stadium looked like a very sophisticated, nicer minor league stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't there to write a hit piece on Kim Mulkey, were you?
No, but I might have been the source for the Washington Post.
There you go.
But if it goes wrong, you know what?
Easy enough. I think anybody could do that target.
We're speaking with Derek Young from K-State Online. Let's take our break. When we come back, we'll take a look now moving forward with the Cats, including two have jumped into the transfer portal. Recruiting now heavily underway. Looking into the transfer portal, we'll get more from DY when we come back on the game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Troy, have you ever seen Kansas in concert?
Nope.
Deej, I haven't. I'd imagine Owen hasn't.
You would be correct.
I wanted to go up north and go see them at that. They had that concert, the whatever.
Up north, like in Nebraska?
No, up by Blue Rapids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Beach Boys were there like a couple of years ago, right?
I mean, like, what a random, weird place to be. But are they going to play on the same field that the what was it, Red Sox?
The Rams?
And the Red Sox and White and somebody played in a baseball game.
Years ago, yeah.
Way back in the early 1900s.
Barnstorming days, yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's a plaque on it and everything.
I had no idea about this.
Yeah. It might have been the Red Sox and Orioles or something. I don't know. But.
Owen, did you have something?
Yeah, I know that's technically been the Bucks theme song for a while. It's not the wrestling bet of the day, so you still got that to look forward to.
Oh, that's right. Well, it was the Elite.
Yeah.
With the Bucks and Kenny Omega, but Omega's not in the Elite anymore.
Yeah. He was fired.
He's some sort of, I think it's the same illness that Brock Lesnar had. It was like an intestine thing.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out for a while.
He's been banged. Yeah, I mean, he was banged up like his whole title run. So he needs some time on the shelf. But he'll be back. And good Lord, I cannot wait.
I can't remember what Brock Lesnar's talked about many times. But it was like some sort of, I don't know if it's an infection or just something wrong with an intestine. It almost killed him.
Jeez. I heard to substitute for him, they're bringing back two people. Raven is coming back in Disco Inferno.
I was a huge Disco. Oh my god!
Yeah.
For some reason, he's been really talked about lately because I don't know if he's just hating on the young guys, but like somebody was roasting on Twitter, like nobody cared about your stupid gimmick. Oof. That never got over. Oof. You never won. You were a jobber. You just lost all the time. Like,
yikes.
Like, it was literally a guy that looked like he was straight out of Saturday Night Fever doing disco dancing on the way to a song called Disco Fever to the ring.
Okay. Now,
but Raven was my dude.
Yeah, Raven was
back
cool.
In the day. Raven's Flock.
Yeah.
That whole, like, renegade of hooligans. And,
yeah, Kidman.
Yeah, Billy Kidman.
Yeah, Scotty Griggs.
Saturn, I believe, was in there.
Yeah.
Man. Boy, you're really Lodi. Lodi used to bring out signs. He'd like have signs on the way out.
Yeah, and he won one time, and everybody was like, "Oh my god!"
And then they had their own Ravens Rules.
They did
match. God dang, those are the good days of WCW.
Yeah, dude, let's watch WCW stuff.
Just do a wrestling watch party.
Yeah,
at the station.
Well, Mania is coming up in a couple of weekends. Mm-hmm. We're back with Derek Young from Case Online. He joins us via the internet. Hey, later on in this second hour, DY, we're going to be previewing the Kansas City Royals. Do you have any thoughts on the Cincinnati Reds heading into 2024?
Could be sneaky good.
Should be sneaky good.
What do you guys think?
I agree with him. I think a team has slept on, and if Ellie De La Cruz can put together a full season of what he did last year,
true.
Look out. That kid's going to electrify a baseball field.
As long as he's not.
I will say,
go ahead.
They have the potential to be one of the two or three best offenses in the National League. So it'll largely be dependent on how long their pitching can hold up. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's also dependent on the fact that they play in a you know, little tiny softball field.
That is true. But they have a great lineup, and they're not the only team that plays in that stadium. So the other team will also have a chance to play in a small park at the same time.
Well, there's a couple of writers out there that are picking the Royals to win the AL Central. So we'll see if Troy agrees. Coming up in hour number two at about 5:25. What's up, DY?
I was going to say it must be nice to play in a division where nobody is any good.
Well. That's
yeah, I know.
Fair.
Decidedly average, yes.
It's funny because the Royals season, on like the first 40 games, 30 of them are against playoff teams. The other, I don't know, 10 or 12, I'm guessing, are against divisional rivals.
Yeah.
I will say, if the Reds were in the AL Central, they'd be picked to win it as well.
Yep.
DY, let's jump back to K-State hoops. Cam Carter, Dorian Finister are the only two right now. We'll see what happens later on, but the only two right now to jump into the portal from saw it coming from a mile away to completely shocked. What's your reaction to those two into the portal?
Two that I expected, and the only two that I expected, at least at this juncture, I think there might be one or two that are kind of touch and go and dependent on some other factors, but nothing stunning. I would expect Dorian Finister is probably going to go a level down and play more minutes somewhere to a team where he can have a larger role. And Cam Carter, I would imagine, will be in the SEC in some fashion.
Interesting. I like that. Cam Carter playing SEC. Does that make him – I'm trying to –
he might be playing against K-State next year.
So you're hinting LSU. I mean, that's 20 miles from where I grew up.
They have met with him already.
Okay.
A little birdie did kind of reveal that he was seen with an LSU coach at Tanner's over the weekend.
Oh. Shout out to Tanner's.
Yeah, shout out to him. They should have. Never mind.
Denial of service.
Never mind. Do whatever you want.
Take that jacket off where you can.
Right?
Okay.
It makes me think, like, it's because this whole transfer portal era, like, your guys, these teams come in and meet with your guys. Like, where do they meet? Like, I heard, like, Kobe Savage met with Oregon at the Chef.
Yeah.
That's I heard about that. I heard when Lincoln Riley came in to meet with Will Howard that he never actually left the airport.
Right.
Dang. Well, that one I had heard. I didn't hear about the previous two.
See, if you're going to do – it's going to be like in The Sopranos when you would go meet with the FBI to rat out the family. You have to go to, like, Keats or something. You know, go out to, like, Leonardville. Meet out there. Don't do it in city limits, dude.
Get in the car. You don't leave the car.
I thought it was incredibly on brand for Lincoln Riley to be in Manhattan, on the ground in Manhattan for about 45 minutes and never leave the airport. I got things to do.
Hey, you didn't smooze Will Howard with some Booth Creek Wagyu steak, so you didn't land him. All right, D.Y., I know you've reported on Case Online that you feel good about David Gasson sticking around. To you, how big would that be if David does use his extra year and stay at K-State?
Yeah, I expect that to happen, and I think that's huge. One could argue, and you probably don't have to argue too hard. I don't think any of us would be against this feeling that taking everything into account, at least from a consistency standpoint and what he is able to give Kansas State and the role that he has, he was probably one of their two or three best players this season.
Anything we should know right now about now moving forward with the recruiting, the transfer portal with K-State Hoops? I know you have a big board at K-State Online, but anything specifically we should know right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they try to work in silence a little bit. A lot of these teams do. They don't want the other teams to know who they're chasing and stuff like that. I think the coaches were just on the road for about four or five straight days, meeting with some of the targets that they want to pursue in the transfer portal. The only thing I would say, I guess comfortable saying, at least on a specific note, is I think it's about to get a little hot and heavy with a few guys like in the next 24 or 48 hours.
All right. I like that. Now, we'll wrap up just by briefly bringing up spring football. They've only had six practices over what feels like 3 weeks now. So it's pretty stretched out. I wasn't able to go to Van Malone's press conference, but I was today at Connor Riley's. But just anything that has sparked your interest about what you've heard from press conferences or attending a couple of practices these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think I thought it was interesting. You were there today. We talked with Connor Riley And I asked him, because everyone basically had already asked about just every position group on a specific note offensively. So I was like, you know, you're the offensive coach. Which defensive players are been like a pain in the butt for you guys, you know, when you go up against them 11 on 11? I don't know about you, but it was a, I wouldn't say bizarre, but it caught me off guard that he mentioned Tobias and Sami first out of the get-go. And that's a guy that's changing positions, now exclusively a defensive end. So I thought that was kind of an exciting detail. I thought it was interesting when he was so transparent that it eats at him every day and he's had sleepless nights because he thinks about being 1-4 last year in one close in one score games.
You're right. So when he brought up Toby, because he said, like, after he asked that question, his mind is, you know, it's churning, thinking up some names. He mentioned Toby. He mentioned a handful of other guys. But then he said after, he's like, you kind of caught me off guard with that question. That to me was like, and he mentioned Toby first. Toby was the first name to pop in his mind. Was not really intriguing and made me feel good, actually, about that move that they've made, that it sounds like he's doing a solid job at defensive end.
Yeah, he could be a really good pass rusher given his skill set.
All right, D.Y., thanks for coming on for the first time in almost 2 months. Hopefully we'll get to do it again next week. Thank you for your time.
All right, see you then.
Derek Young from KCN Online here on The Game joins us once again right before WrestleMania takes off next weekend from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. All right, let's take a break. Still to come in hour number two, we'll hear from KCN offensive coordinator Connor Riley, who did speak to Us Media earlier today. Troy will have the top five Kansas City Royals storylines heading into the season that opens up tomorrow afternoon from Kauffman Stadium. Up next, we look at the NCAA tournament field and re-predict the Final Four after these words. We continue with The Game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, David G., and Owen Burke. We have no show tomorrow, opening day for the Royals. We'll kick off at 2:30 with pregame. And then at 5:30, we'll head to K-State baseball pregame. They'll have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series at Toyton Family Stadium against the Texas Longhorns. So we will not have a show tomorrow, but we'll be back for an hour and a half on Friday. So since we don't have a show tomorrow, we're going to move up this schedule, this segment a day, because Wyatt and I talked about this on Wildcat Insider, and I think it's an interesting discussion about re-predicting the Final Four now that you know the Sweet 16. Like, would you take your predicted Final Four, maybe change some things up after watching the first couple of rounds? Because, of course, there's some teams right now that are very trendy, like an NC State. Could they pull an upset over Marquette? Clemson looked extremely good against Baylor. Could they upset in Arizona? San Diego State, do they have what it takes to make another run as a five seed and get to a Final Four? But they're playing in a very difficult region, the East, that has to do with UConn, Illinois, and Iowa State still in there. You know, a team like Gonzaga, who, you know, I think a lot of people predicted to be upset in the first round. They get through the first round, beating McNeese, looking good doing it. Knock off Kansas, who didn't have Kevin McCullough, but now they have to face Purdue. And Purdue is a team that in the last 3 years, Matt Painter has seen his team faceplant at some point in the tournament against a double-digit seed. Well, there's no double-digit seeds in the Midwest. So do they have what it takes to get to the Final Four? What's up, Owen?
I think that's such a win-win game. You know, one of those teams is probably going to face plan. You know, I think I'm okay with either outcome. Kind of hope it's Purdue because I trust Gonzaga to fall apart later on still. I'm worried if Purdue gets deep that they might just go to the Final Four, but that's a win-win game in my book. I'm okay with either outcome there.
Gonzaga doesn't have the inside game that they have had in the past, and that I think is where Purdue gets an edge. And so I have Purdue going into the eight, but that's where I had the brakes pumped.
I can't blame you. If you're asking me to re-predict this thing, I'm sticking with my original because all four teams are still alive.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Yes. I've still got all four of mine.
Am I ignoring some shaky performances and some other strong ones? Yeah, probably, but I'm staying confident around here. I'm rocking with my Final Four that I originally had.
So I have three of the four teams available. And my three that are still alive is UConn, Houston, and Creighton. I think Creighton has been a really fun team to watch this year. They're actually very comparable to Alabama. You may have watched more Alabama than Creighton. Creighton will shoot a lot of threes, and they do a pretty good job of hitting them. They shoot 29 a game, and they're still 37% from the field. And that Tennessee game is going to be very interesting. Tennessee played Alabama twice and beat them both times, and Alabama's a similar team like Creighton. I think that could go either way, but I also think either Tennessee or Creighton, as we, you know, if we just go region by region, we're first looking at the Midwest as they head to Detroit. I think Creighton or Tennessee, either winner of that game, can beat Purdue.
And and that's where I'm sitting, is that I've got Tennessee getting past Purdue and making the Final Four. The thing I like about this Tennessee-Creighton matchup just right away, I love the fact that you've got a Creighton team that shoots as well as they do from three, and you've got Dalton Connect who shoots as well as he does from three for Tennessee. There's going to be a lot of shots get up during the course of that game.
I love a Big East team that just has an awkward-looking white guy that can crush threes. Something about those type of teams just kind of stand out to me, and they're a little underestimated because they don't look like basketball players.
Chris Mullen nods in the affirmative.
That's right. What school did Kyle Korver go to?
That would be Creighton.
Creighton. Yeah. Oh, God.
What about Dougie McBuckets?
That's right.
Creighton.
That's right.
Yep.
And, like, speaking of just teams, like, every year for me, it seems like Creighton, they should go deeper than they go. I mean, it's like this tournament is – the field is left with a bunch of teams that have kind of broke people's hearts and broke people's brackets before, because you pick them and they don't do nothing. I have all four left, so I'm going to stay with what I got, too. I'm good.
Well, I mean, in the South and the East, you have Houston and you have UConn. To me, they both make the Final Four until they don't. As in, those two, I would definitely not change. I think they are both clearly the best teams in the nation. I don't think Houston should have gone to overtime with Texas A&M. I think a lot of the calls, a lot of the whistles in that game allowed Texas A&M to come back and tie that game up with a buzzer-beating three. Houston took care of business in overtime. I'm a little bit with DY that maybe offensively they should be a better team because they do have some offensive threats and they should be a little bit of a better team. But I still think Houston is the favorite in the South. Mm-hmm. UConn is still on a tear that continued from last year's NCAA tournament where they won every game by double digits. And so far, and they really haven't been tested. I mean, Stetson, 16 seed, Northwestern, had really no shot against UConn. UConn is steamrolling again.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to San Diego State, who, I mean, we have a rematch of last year's national championship game now with UConn and San Diego State. I mean, I don't know if I give San Diego State really a shot because they didn't really have a shot in the national title game last year.
Right.
No. And there again, I'm UConn all the way through to the championship game. So,
but the question is, Illinois or Iowa State?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the toughest game to predict.
I would agree.
In the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
I think I predicted this matchup happening, and if I remember, I filled out our bracket here on that piece of paper, so I'm relying purely on memory, and I'm pretty sure I had Illinois going over in this one.
I got Drake all the way, going all the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I mean,
to the Elite Eight?
No, to get to this game. And then, because I was going to finally have Illinois get over the hump, I think Illinois beats Iowa State. I think they got the guys to just match up with Iowa State.
I find it interesting that you will have essentially a matchup with Terrence Shannon having to deal with Iowa State's defense again. That is going to pose some things. You know, Iowa State knows how to prepare for him.
In the West, these games played starting tomorrow in Los Angeles, North Carolina, Alabama, Clemson, and Arizona. I mean, I haven't watched, honestly, a whole lot of ACC basketball this year, North Carolina, Clemson. Hadn't really watched either team until the ACC tournament. North Carolina lost to North Carolina State in the championship game. That was a heck of a game by NC State. And NC State's been a lot of fun to watch. They, you know, that game against Oakland kind of came down to the wire there a little bit. They got that big guy, was it Burns or whatever his last name is? Just a tank.
DJ Burns.
Of a five downstairs. Has been a lot of fun to watch. I just like the way he plays. Why not Clemson? Clemson's been on a run lately that, like...
And their coach, dude, is making no bones. He is really dogging the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize a couple years ago they were 23-11 in the ACC and missed the tournament. 23-11.
Last year. Last
overall.
Yeah.
They're good. They have been good for a while.
Well, and they're, if I remember correctly, they're an older team.
Yeah.
They have guys that have been in the program for a long time, and it's... It's the proof that, you know, it's the opposite of Kentucky. It's the proof of, you know, we're not recruiting, you know, all these young freshmen and that are maybe one and dones. We got guys on our roster that we've been able to develop continuity, and they've grown up in the program and they know each other. They have a ton of experience, and they have transfers as well, but it's just a ton of guys that have a ton of experience and they can score the basketball.
And they can hoop, that's for sure. I mean, you go 23-11. I mean, you should make the tourney. So they have a chip on their shoulder. They're out here talking junk openly on the Big 12. They might mess around and get a triple double.
I do think in the West, if there was a team that would make the Final Four and they're the lowest seed still alive in their region, I think it is Clemson that would get it done in the West over an NC State, over a Gonzaga, and over a San Diego State.
They beat the brakes off one of my other Cinderella teams. I had New Mexico going.
I didn't really know anything about New Mexico, so I didn't make that pick. I just went Clemson.
No love for either. Arizona, huh?
No.
I didn't have any love.
It was a two seed.
I thought that New Mexico was going to go all the way to the Elite Eight knowing zero about them.
Arizona, to me, is that one program that just should always do better than they do anymore, you know, in the NCAA tournament. They never go as deep as you think they will.
They've been NILing people for years, and they can't get anywhere, man.
I'm of the mind that they're going to get into the Final Four, that they'll be the matchup with UConn. I believe that they've got the ability to do that. Especially given the success we've seen the Pac-12 now have in the tournament this year.
How many Pac-12 teams are still alive?
Still alive? They're it.
Okay, so they're the last one, but there were some round one wins.
So, yes.
So that
guy, they went unbeaten in the first round.
Oregon upset South Carolina.
Their coach,
Colorado. Yeah.
Arizona's coach. TB should have gotten them into the 16. It was close.
He came, the coach for Arizona came from Gonzaga, right?
Yes.
And so Mark Few coached under Dan Munson.
Dan Munson. Mm-hmm.
So that's the revenge of Dan Munson, if you think about it, is Arizona making it to the Final Four. That's the revenge, dude.
Owen?
Seal it.
That's my national champion pick, actually. I think DY kind of hit the nail on the head. He's talking about Caleb Love leaving UNC, but I think it was a win-win, like because he's went on to Arizona and had great success, and again UNC looks primed for another run at a back-to-back championship this year.
We'll wrap up hour one when we come back.
Easy for you to say.
BriggsAuto.com and News Radio K-Man present Passport to Cabo. We're giving away a 7-night stay at a beachfront luxury resort in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. To get signed up this week to become an instant finalist, which will be drawn for 10 on Friday, is at Eileen's Colossal Cookies next to Target off Seth Child Road there on the southwest corner of town. And during the break, Deej and I went to work trying to come up with a jingle for Eileen's Colossal Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Eileen, so you think of the song "Come On, Eileen."
Yeah. That's what that was. So yeah. I wonder what the ruckus was.
Yeah.
So we have three of the four lines. Deej, you want to take the honors and sing what we got?
Come with me.
No.
Dang it!
Come on.
Come to Eileen's.
Come to
and we'll get some cookies at this moment. And then we're stuck.
I like.
So we need the last line.
I like this. Come to Eileen's and we'll get some cookies at this moment. I'll have mine with icing, because then I can, like, when I sing it for the commercial, I'm going to throw a little funk on it.
That is your specialty.
Then, yeah, thank funk. You. By the way, thank you. And then have Eileen's go, okay, well, here's a whole batch of cookies. You know?
We'll do the theme song in exchange for 3 dozen cookies.
Deal!
If anybody has an idea on how to finish that jingle for Eileen's Colossal Cookies, let us know. Plus, head out to Eileen's Colossal Cookies. Get those cookies. They are delicious. And get signed up for Passport to Cabo, brought to you by BriggsAuto.com. Hour number two of the game. When we come back, we'll hear from Connor Riley with there's some growth pains with the offense, but that's not an issue, guys. This is spring football. That's when you want these things to take place. Plus, Troy's top five Kansas City Royals storylines are all coming up in Social Local News.